At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I watch the Americas very closely with my colleagues. Cuba is non-transparent. There's no certainty except for the brutality, the political arrests, the detentions, the jails, the famine, the bad water, very bad water, the electrical grid collapsing now and again and over these last days routinely, meaning that whatever put it back together, there's no confidence it'll last. So what is to be done? Allison mentions two states, Mexico and Russia, profoundly different kinds of states. Let's begin with Mexico. There's a new president, Claudia Sheinbaum, who inherits the intentions of AMLO towards Cuba, which was not hostile. I believe that Claudia Sheinbaum is offering a lot of money or aid to Cuba. Is that welcomed in Havana? Are they simpatico?
That is more than welcome in Havana. Mexico traditionally, despite whatever regime has been in power, has kept a good stance and in good standing with Cuba overall. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that this idea of Cuba's strategic value in the Caribbean, in the Gulf of Mexico specifically, yes, the U.S. has a Gulf of Mexico, but no surprise, Mexico also borders that same body of water. And so a lot of the strategic interests in terms of coastal security, maritime trade routes and whatnot that are useful for the United States are also useful and of interest to Mexico. So their ability to stay friends with Cuba, help prop up the regime, not necessarily because they believe in the regime, but they want to have stability on the island, is not unfound and makes sense to have that type of continuity.
Russia. This is a puzzle to me, Allison. Russia is a capitalist state. It's something equivalent to a state of oligarchs or big bosses. And its conduct in Europe, of course, is right now puts it at odds with all of NATO. That was now. However, Russia, when it first involved itself with Cuba, it was ideological. It was a Leninist Marxist state helping a Leninist Marxist state. What is the relationship now? A capitalist state and then failing Cuba. Do they talk to each other? Is there history there? Or is this yet another failed state that Russia has to prop up?
The Russian interest in Cuba has not subsided since the fall of the Soviet Union. Its ability to economically prop up the regime and the connection from pure political ideology obviously has faded away over time. However, there are two points where these two countries have overlapping interests. For Russia, the need to be able to cause problems for the U.S. is a constant. They view the U.S. as a competitor, as an adversary. And so having some sort of strategic foothold that they can periodically use to their advantage to pressure Washington when they want something or need something is important. And Cuba serves that purpose, given how close it is to the United States. The Cuban regime is more than happy to align with Russia, especially at this point in time. They still see the U.S. as an enemy. They are not happy with the U.S. blockade against Cuba. And so there is some sort of political alignment, even if it's not as ideologically based as it was before.
The puzzle then, what is to be done? Mexico is making aid available. Russia has not detached itself. Venezuela is aggressive and a predator state. What is the vision for Cuba? Where are they going with this? I understand they rent out or, you know, soldiers for hire everywhere, especially their security services. They also have doctors that are charged a great deal of money sent back home. But what is the plan? Are they ever going to rejoin the community of nations? Because right now it's not only a pariah, but it's a broken pariah.
So I think the plan is two very distinct plans. One is the short-term plan that I think overshadows a lot of the long-term plan, because basically the economic crisis that they're living through right now, there's no fuel, there's no exports, or very little, I should say. Major food shortages, major medical shortages. The government cannot take care of the island. It can't take care of its people. It is encouraging the black market to go crazy. Their goal in the short term is to stay in power and find some level of stability without having to sacrifice the regime in power. The problem is that those are two incompatible goals, and that what it's going to take to revive the economy and improve it, it's going to clash with the political management of the economy and the political control over the economy. And so in the long term, it's very hard to imagine Cuba being able to make any sort of improvements in their lifestyle, in their economy, without some sort of major regime change. The one exception would be is if some sort of ally came in and dumped tens upon tens of billions of dollars into the economy to fix it. That does not look remotely likely anytime soon, leaving the idea that they are going to hobble along as long as they can, before facing some sort of collapse or political transition.
I think I know the answer. We have a minute left. I'll ask the question. At the end of the Obama second administration, there was a warmth exchange between the president and Raul Castro. Is that warmth still available, or is that gone now? Raul Castro is a very senior figure, and Barack Obama is no longer president. We have about 30 seconds. Is there any dialogue at all between Washington and Havana?
Yes, there is a dialogue between Washington and Havana that was resumed over the last 4 or 5 years. They talk about very basic stuff that they can all agree on, such as how families can visit each other between
Right.
Cuba and the US. They stay away from hot topics like the blockade. And so there's a basic civility between the two countries, but we are far from full-fledged relations.
Alison Federica for Geopolitical Futures on Darkness Visible, Cuba.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.